Do you have questions about vaccinations? I know Montana is one state where its population is worried about the long-term effects of vaccinations given to newborns, as well as the often non-effectiveness of seasonal vaccines. This Saturday on Gesundheit with Jacobus, I will discuss these topics. And you don't want to miss the first 2 hours, as my guest will be Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, who has studied vaccines for over 7,000 hours. Whatever your doctor has not and will not tell you about vaccinations, you will learn from Dr. Sherry Tenpenny this Saturday morning from 8 to 11.
Welcome to Gesundheit with Jacobus, Health Talk Radio, integrating allopathic and all-natural medicine one show at a time. Here is your host, Jacobus Hollewine.
And good morning, everybody. Welcome to the program. It's good to be with you today. It's going to be a very powerful program where we're going to talk about vaccines and the dangers of vaccines. And it's actually a perfect time. And I'll tell you just this in a moment, because we are in a very special month going to happen now in August right here in the Gallatin Valley. With me today is Dr. Sherry Tenpenny. We are talking every week about health, healing, and healthy lifestyles. Do it with the experts. Give them a chance to chat about their profession or about a topic of their choice. As always, as we are talking about health, healing, and healthy lifestyles, we suggest that you always find information about it, more information about it, by talking to a physician of your choice, on finding more information about it on the internet, read reputable articles and books. We are here to educate, inform, and entertain. We are not here to diagnose, treat, or cure. Just want to let you know that. Of course, you are very, very welcome to listen to the program today, and we hope that you share the information with your loved ones, and that this will hopefully give you a key on your quest for better health. So once again, thanks for tuning in today. It's going to be exciting. We are going to be talking to Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, who is a doctor of osteopathic medicine. She is respected as one of the country's most knowledgeable and outspoken physicians regarding the impact of vaccines on health. As a member of the prestigious National Speakers Association, Dr. Tenpenny is an outspoken advocate for free choice in healthcare, including the right to refuse vaccination. As an internationally known speaker, she's highly sought after for her ability to present scientifically sound information regarding vaccination hazard and warnings that are rarely portrayed by conventional medicine. Most importantly, she offers hope through her unique treatments offered at Osteomed 2 for those who have been vaccine injured. Dr. Tenpenny is a graduate of the University of Toledo in Toledo, Ohio. She received her medical training at Kirksville College of Osteopathic Medicine in Kirksville, Missouri. Dr. Penny was board certified in emergency medicine through 2005 and has been board certified in osteopathic manipulative medicine since 1995. In 1996, Dr. Tenpenny founded Osteomed 2, expanded her practice and her vision of combining the best of conventional and alternative medicine. Osteomed is proud to report that patients from 38 states and 9 countries have come to the clinic to get well. She's a regular guest on radio and television talk shows, including the nationally syndicated Coast to Coast AM, Alex Jones, and the Deborah Ray Show. She has been many-time guest on Your Health with Dr. Richard Becker, aired on the Family Network. Her articles have been published in national magazines, newspapers, and internet sites, including newswithviews.com, The Huffington Post, and mothering.com. She's the author of the best-selling books, Fowl, Bird Flu, It's Not What You Think, and the other book, which I have with me today, it's called Saying No to Vaccines, A Resource Guide for All Ages. I have a few DVDs at my house as well, and the ones that I have are Vaccines, What the CDC Documents and Signs Reveal. Vaccines, the Risks, the Benefits, the Choices, and Gardasil and the History of Vaccinations. If you would like to call Dr. Tenpenny, the number you can dial is 440 239 1-888-440-239, 1-888. Now, she is available many ways on the internet. You can go to drtenpenny.com. You can go to myspace.com and then /drtenpenny. And you can even find her on Facebook, which I am a member of now. And so I'm connected with Dr. Tenpenny that way. Facebook.com/vaccineinfo. Facebook.com/vaccineinfo. That's quite an introduction. Dr. Tenpenny, good morning, and thanks so much for joining us today.
Good morning, and I'm just, it's always humbling when you hear somebody read your whole life like that. I thought surely you would pick and choose a little of that, but thank you for that lengthy introduction.
Well, I won't do it again. It's just a top of the hour. So it's very much appreciated that you're with me. I was introduced to your name and your work through somebody at the studio who gave me some information, and then I ended up getting your DVDs and book, and I've been reading it and watching the DVDs way back, I mean about a year and a half ago, and then I said, I got to get you on, and I'm so happy that you grace us today with your voice and with your knowledge, because I know it is very hard to get a hold of you. You are a very busy person. So it is wonderful. Wonderful timing, I just mentioned in the beginning of the show, because what is going on right here in Montana, in Bozeman, Montana, there is starting tomorrow, there is going to be an action happening with the local government where they are actually going to push the use of vaccines coming up for the whole month of August. And it says over here, yesterday morning in the newspaper, it said a startling statistic pegging Montana as the state with the lowest rate of immunizations for young children is the subject of a new public service ad campaign by local health groups set to roll out next month. It is called Dead Last. It will debut in August and feature print ads, radio spots, billboards, and movie theater previews. It is an effort by the Gallatin City County Health Department, Community Health Partners, and the Bozeman Deaconess Clinic, or Bozeman Deaconess Hospital, to encourage parents to get their kids immunized, which is Matt Kelly said, so health department officer. According to the 2008 Centers for Disease Control and Prevention figures, the most current data available, Montana has the worst rate, they call it the worst, maybe it's the best rate, of immunizations for children 19 to 35 months. The national average is about 76%, and Montana is about 60%. 50%. And unofficial figures put Gallatin County's immunization rate at about 70%, unofficial, but they're much lower than that, about 50. Oh, it says over here, about 59% are only immunized. Matt Kelly cited the June 23rd New York Times article, which reported that 5 infants in California had recently died of pertussis, which I know you love to talk about, commonly known as whooping cough. The state has since declared a pertussis epidemic, with 910 confirmed cases, potentially the largest outbreak in 50 years. So anyway, we are in a state where people just don't like to get vaccinated. And so I thought it is wonderful to have you on to reinforce in our listeners why we definitely need to read the literature first before we make a decision.
Oh, gosh, there's so much to say about that.
Yes.
There's a lot to say. I mean, first of all, I think it's important to understand that there's a difference between vaccination and immunization. We use those words interchangeably as though they were synonyms, and they're not. Vaccination simply is the act of getting a shot. It means that we inject something in you and we expect something to happen. To be immune means that you are prevented from getting an illness. And it's common knowledge for those of us that have spent a long time researching this vaccine issue, which I've spent 10 years and probably close to 10,000 hours now of my life doing this every single day, writing on Facebook, writing articles, putting together DVDs and so on, that just because you get a shot and you develop an antibody, it doesn't necessarily mean it's going to keep you from getting sick. Mm-hmm. So there's an assumption there that there is something called a protective antibody, and that if you have that antibody, you won't get sick. However, it's well documented in the medical literature that outbreaks occur amongst those who are vaccinated, who are highly vaccinated. The CDC and the public health officials would always like to point a finger, an accusing finger, that all of these nidus of infection start with these unvaccinated kids.
Yeah.
But the truth of the matter is let's say there's 100 children that get sick, and maybe 10 of them are unvaccinated, and they say it starts there, then why is it that the other 90 that were vaccinated, they get sick too?
Yes.
So you can take on all of the risk of the vaccine and all the vaccine ingredients and the potential for lifetime disability and side effects and still get the illness. So my position has been and continues to be that vaccination is an artificial immunity, if it increases immunity at all. It doesn't provide herd immunity like the public health officials want us to believe. We can take on all the risk of the infection and still get sick, and that there's much better ways to stay healthy from the inside out than to get something that comes through a needle. I wrote an article not too long ago that the title of the article was Health Does Not Come Through a Needle, and I believe that firmly.
Yes, I agree with you as well. Plus, what you have really helped in exposing is the ingredients. It's not just the fact that we are inserting a needle in somebody's body and injecting some type of fluid. It is the carriers that go with it that may be worse for you than the actual ingredient that you try to stop a flu with, for example.
Right, and now if children get every dose of every current vaccine, there's now 16 vaccines that are on the market. They now get 14 vaccines before the age of 6. The other two that come are meningitis vaccine and Gardasil vaccine that come in teenagers. But children now get 49 doses of 14 vaccines before they're six years of age.
49 doses of 14 vaccines.
That's right.
How does that work? 49 doses of 14?
There's 14 vaccines that children get multiple doses of. So, for example, they get diphtheria, tetanus, pertussis, polio, Hib, Prevnar, which is for strep, rotavirus vaccine, influenza, and they get multiple doses of those at 2, 4, and 6 months, and they get measles, mumps, rubella, hepatitis A, influenza, 1 year of age. They are now starting to give influenza vaccines at 6 months of age, and every year for the rest of that child's life, they are to get influenza vaccines, which are loaded with all sorts of problems. It's really like these children are nothing more than repositories of products from the drug companies.
Yes.
And when you see a fully completed vaccination record these days, and you see all the vaccines listed down one side and across the top the dates, 2, 4, and 6 months, and then there's initials and dates that are in, when you look at that piece of paper, it is beyond me how any medical professional can look at that and think that that causes no harm.
You're absolutely right.
It's one piece of paper, and when you see this, it's like dose after dose after dose after dose. And last night I was reading an article that was put out from the NIH that freely admits that there are many, many more vaccines coming down the pipeline, not only for children, but also for adolescents and adults.
Well,
but in order for the pharmaceutical companies to be protected from liability, they have to get it approved for children and put it on what is called the CDC's vaccination table. That protects them from liability. So that means that all of these vaccines have to be approved for kids so that we cannot sue the drug companies in the event of an adverse event.
That's interesting. And the way that the law apparently is set up this way is that the Secretary of Health has the authority to quarantine people, to mandate vaccines if she feels, in this case, Catherine Sebelius, of Kathleen Sebelius, whenever she feels like it. And that's another problem that we're dealing with.
Well, the mandatory vaccination hammer is floating around out there, and as of yet, there is not any firm recommendations about mandatory vaccination that goes all the way back to the Homeland Security and all of the things that came out in 2006.
Yeah.
There were a lot of issues, and depending on the interpretation of those acts and those laws. And if we get a little heavy-handed about it, if we go from what we would call cooperation, which is encouraging people to get them vaccinated, to coercion, which is requiring them to get vaccinated, There's some thin lines there, and we're skating on some very thin ice. The medical literature, and particularly in the public health journals, is now being loaded up with articles about healthcare workers, about the fact that voluntary vaccination for parents hasn't been working. Now we have to come up with other things to force these requirements. So the powers that be absolutely want all of these doses of drugs injected into children, and they're going to get, and I believe it's because more people are getting informed. They're understanding that this cannot possibly be harmless. They're looking at the ingredients. They're looking at the vaccination schedules. There's hardly a person out there in the United States that doesn't know some family that has an autistic child these days because of autism being so pervasive. And they're asking questions, and they're looking around, and they're saying, I don't want to do this. And it's making the pharmaceutical industry and the public health officials very nervous.
Yes, you're absolutely right. Folks, you're listening to Dr. Sherry Tenpenny. You can find a lot of information about her on her website, drtenpenny.com, drtenpenny.com. And I highly recommend that if you have any concern about vaccines, or even if you say, you know, I'm all pro-vaccines, I'm listening to this radio show now, and I want to see what she's writing so I can prove her wrong. By all means, go to her website, just browse through it, find information, look at the resources that she's using. Dr. Tenpenny has gone to the CDC. She went way straight to the top, get the information from the organizations that are actually involved in promoting the vaccinations in this country. And she's getting her information right from the top. So you'll be more educated, pro or con, about vaccines than any other place when you go to drtenpenny.com. And yes, Dr. Tenpenny.
Well, it's interesting that you said that about looking to prove me wrong, because I've had many doctors, medical doctors over the years, who have quietly purchased my book or my DVDs, and they've looked at on the DVD, as you know, because you mentioned that you've watched them.
Yes.
All of the material that's there is footnoted and referenced from either a reference from the CDC or from a conventional peer-reviewed medical journal.
Yes.
And I've had people who have actually told me that they've taken those references and they've pulled them because they wanted to prove that I had taken that information out of context, that I had skewed the numbers, that I had done something different just to kind of make a point.
Yes.
And that I've gotten emails back from people saying, wow, what you did was absolutely correct, and I had no idea that that was there.
That's right. And what I feel reading it and listening to it, seeing the information, you first read about it, then you give your comment. It's not that you are philosophizing and try to figure out where you can get the references to justify
to support my to support my opinion. I mean, it's like, here's the information. All you have to do is go and look at it.
Yeah, totally true. Some of the information, I think it would be interesting to talk a little bit about the history. We have a few minutes that you maybe, how far back do we go to say this is when vaccinations actually started? I think it started with cowpox or something.
Well, it started with the cowpox vaccine that ostensibly was to eradicate smallpox. And it's interesting because whenever people are first being introduced to the vaccine issue, I guess I would call it that, it always starts with, well, what about smallpox and what about polio?
Mm-hmm.
And it's in smallpox. The smallpox vaccines were originally made in this like 1790s. The history of the history of vaccination is just an absolutely fascinating sort of read. If people are really interested in that, there's two books I would suggest. One is called Bodily Matters, BODILY, Bodily Matters, by Dr. Nanda Durbach, which is the history of mandatory vaccination from 1863 to 1902, when Jacobson versus Massachusetts came into the United States, which required states to have laws to have children vaccinated before they go to school.
Wow.
That whole history that started from 1863 forward, it started in the UK, in England, with the very first mandatory vaccination law that was then rolled into the United States. The first vaccination happened in the U.S. was in South Carolina in 1800, and it just there's a lot of very robust history that has to do with that. From the very beginning, there were people who said this vaccine stuff cannot be good. We are injecting cow pus and cow matter and viruses and all sorts of chemicals into these children. And there was a movement in the late 1860s called Our Babies Battle, where mothers were taking their children and hiding them from public health officials. And if they were in apartments, they had holes cut in the wall. So when the vaccinators came to the door, that they would shove their children through the holes in the wall to the next door neighbor's apartment to protect them.
Wow.
So this battle against this mandatory vaccination and this insane thought that we can inject all this stuff into children and somehow keep them healthy has been around from the very inception of vaccination.
Hmm.
So it's been a very, very long battle. So some of the things that we're doing now in terms of standing up against these public health officials is not new. It's history repeating itself.
Mm.
The difference is that there's more vaccines now. At that time, there was only the smallpox vaccine, which they used cowpox instead of smallpox. There was only one vaccine. Now we have 16 vaccines and multiple doses of them. We have, so there's a bigger, more robust reason for why that we should stand up against these vaccinators.
Yes. And of course, it's not only the children, but we're talking about, we're also talking about adults. When people travel, or if there is the fear of bioterrorism, then the CDC is already working up something so that if they decide that it needs to be done, that people need to be vaccinated, that you get these mass vaccinations. And we're not even talking now about the flu vaccine, which has shown that it really doesn't do any that it doesn't do much to people. So we'll definitely talk more about it as we go along here. But the history is indeed very interesting, and as you mentioned, the fight that people have fought to resist mandatory vaccinations has been obviously the human mind says, wait, something is not right here. And so luckily they have done that. They have done that throughout history. Folks, we're going to take a short break. Dr. Sherry Tenpenny is my guest today on Gesundheit with Jacobus. I much appreciate you with us today. And make sure you check out Dr. Tenpenny's website, drtenpenny.com. So stay tuned. We're going to be right back.